time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, it's clearly been 3 weeks since I've done this. The peaceful world of Bardotta and its mystical ways are threatened by an ancient prophecy, and its top spiritual leaders have vanished. Queen Julia of Bardotta calls help from her most trusted friend in the Senate, Jar Jar Binks. Recognizing the importance of Bardotta's spiritual balance, the Jedi Council sends Mace Windu to accompany Binks and investigate. There'll be... Jar Jar is making out with a lady. Windu is hating his life. And oh my god, Jar Jar is making out with a woman! We're talking about The Disappear Part 1 this week. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good.
That's good. I'm doing good too. I'm so happy. I'm not sick anymore.
I was really happy that coming back from... You know, since we've recorded last, you know, all our adventures that we're starting out on a whole new arc, you know, so it was just starting fresh.
I'm glad we didn't, like, stop, like, halfway through an arc and then didn't touch it for 3 weeks.
Oh, my God, yeah. Well, I would just have to watch stuff over again, you know?
Yeah. At least we get to, like, just jump into it fresh, so. I'm very curious. Did you like this episode?
I didn't not like it.
Okay. I liked it more than I remembered.
There were a lot of things that I liked about it a lot. I really only have one big problem with that with this episode. And it hinges also, but like it hinges sort of on what happens in the next episodes. Although, not really, because I've sort of had my mind made up that they're not going to come up with an explanation that I like.
Well, I will say this is only a two-parter.
Oh, it is? Oh,
yeah,
good.
So it's not
a
big arc.
We only have till next week
to find out whether they're going to
explain this right. But I just don't think they can.
It's only a two-parter. I'm pretty sure it's only a two-parter. Let me quickly double check right fast. Dun, 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 dun. Jean is wonderful, pulling it off. Yes, it's only a two-parter. So it'll get resolved next week.
Yeah, they probably figured we didn't want to spend four episodes with
Jar Jar.
Jar Jar and Wet Blanket.
Really. Oh my god, though, but aren't
Can
they wonderful?
Catch your death of cold.
I love them together, though, because Mace Windu throws some shady-ass looks in this episode.
We're going to get to it, but Mace Windu is the one who's being shady in this episode. He's the shady one. Not
I actually have a couple notes about that. I do. I do have one note. I think this is the first Clone Wars title that we have a part one in the title. I think because everything else, like when there are different arcs, it, like every episode in the arc have different names. This is the first time that we have The Disappeared Part 1, The Disappeared Part 2.
Huh. Weird.
Yeah, I know. It was just
almost
like very
simply. It was supposed to be one episode or something, maybe. I don't know. That's weird. Yeah.
Yeah, it struck me because I went back and looked, and like this is the only arc that has a part one and a part two like this and not have different names for every episode.
Getting lazy, guys.
I was trying to figure that one out, and I couldn't figure it out. I tried real damn hard. Anywho. I know. See, we're recording two tonight, so the Resistance DragonCon episode you guys heard last week, we actually just finished recording, so we told all of our catch-up stories, so you just want to get into the episode?
Let's just do this.
Let's do this. Okay, so, here
just
we go.
Just like Jar Jar does the Queen.
Drink some coffee to that. All right.
Even if he has to give up everything, just do it, Jar Jar.
I just realized what you were referencing.
You got that reference, huh?
Yeah. That was high five, dude. Hit the microphone. That's me giving you a high five. All right, so here we go. The Disappeared Part 1 is the 116th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on March 7th. What?
We're on 116th episode.
Oh, cool. Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on March 14th. It was written by Jonathan W. Rinsler and directed by Stuart Lee. Some extra information for you. Queen Julia is voiced by Ami Shukla. Her other works includes the video game Prey and America Desi. Although it's not explicitly stated in the episode, the guide, there's a Clone Wars guide, reveals that Hai Sinshul Petine is also the Fingral cult leader, in a role that mimicked the character of Chardalal from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Dune, from which the two episodes draw heavy inspiration from. His role was also similar to Mandalore's Prime Minister Almec. The planet of Bardotto is named after French artist Brigitte Bardot. The Bardotan throne room is based on the crystal skeleton chamber from Indiana Jones in the Kingdom of the Crystal Skulls. And one of my favorite things about this episode is how the people of Bardotta see the Force. So I dove a little deeper into their background and history and how the Force shaped it, as well as their relationship with the Jedi. So here we go. Civilization on Bardotta started in 600,000 BBY when the Frangrel reigned over the militant society. Meditating before battle, the Frangrel people used the dark side of the Force to drive themselves into fierce wars, driven by battle rage. Erecting terrifying edifices with animal sculptures and other motifs, the Frangrel was also artisans, building temples and other structures hewn from solid rock across the landscape of the world. War was rage on Bardotta for four millennia, until 2000 BBY, when the Dragonan Order took hold of the planet after a series of successful and strategic small-scale wars. Turning to deep meditation during these times of peace, the Dragonan tradition unlocked greater insight into the studies of the Force, eventually came to a position of power. With the government on Bardotta fully under control of the Dragonan masters, the Frangrel cult was banned, with practitioners dying out and disappearing through attrition. The remains of the Frangrel temples were covered in prayer flags and converted to Dragonan sites for meditation and contemplation. With a theocratic monarchy of the Dragonan Order fully established, Bardotta reached out to the greater galaxy, avoiding the Galactic Republic and the politics of civilized galaxy. Remaining neutral in galactic affairs, the Dragonan Order had a short-lived relationship with the Jedi Order, who took Bardotta children from their planet to train as Jedi. The fierce reaction from the Dragonan masters, who viewed it as abduction, caused the Jedi to return the children and end the recruitment out of Bardotta.
Good for them.
Good for them! Good for them, indeed. I mean, like, yeah, I don't think I ever named it, but, like, the evil cult in the episode is the Frangrel thing I just read about. That's the evil cult people. I don't think I actually ever wrote the words, just to clarify, when we get to Act 2 and 3. Well, where do you like to send your children back to, Yoda?
Yoda doesn't have any children that Yoda knows of.
Yoda, I've missed you. I haven't talked to you in 3 weeks.
Yoda leaves behind eggs. Doesn't know if they get fertilized. Doesn't want to know.
Do you have a cloaca?
Maybe.
Well, how have you been, Yoda? How was your 3 weeks that I haven't talked to you?
Very busy. Very busy.
My hand hurts, doesn't it?
Yoda got the internet.
So Dagobah's on Wi-Fi now. Nice.
Yoda's been watching Dagobah Nights.
Is that like Ricky Bobby and Talladega Nights?
No.
I like the hard nose, like, no. Hard no.
Very interesting.
Alright, Yoda, what's the platitude for this week?
Without darkness, there cannot be light in bed.
Not my favorite platitude. It's so generic. It feels like a season 6 platitude.
Yeah. And you can stick, I mean, basically it's such a standard sort of without darkness, without this, there cannot be its opposite statement. And when you go for something even so basic as darkness and light, you could stick anything at the end of it, not just in bed, and it would be, you know, that statement covers everything.
Without darkness, there now cannot be light.
So the embed is implied, yes.
With cats. Without darkness, there cannot be light in my car.
I mean, those candles aren't going to be any good during the day, so, you know, not going to add anything but a fire hazard during the day.
Yeah. So, not the best platitude.
Moving on from the platitude this month, week.
Kicking off the month right.
Yeah, right.
So, Act 1?
Act 1. Oh, no time to take off. We've still got plenty of Star Wars forever and ever.
I was about to say, this is our first episode of Clone Wars in September. Happy September, everybody.
Ooh.
Act 1. On the peaceful planet of Bardota, who have miraculously stayed out of the Clone Wars somehow, their spiritual leaders are starting to vanish. Their leader, Queen Julia, has called on the Senate for help. And Papa Palpatine is like, we love invading, I mean helping neutral systems. We did great on Mandalore. I want to introduce my best ambassadors, Padme Amidala and her baby daddy, Bail Organa. Stop! Julia cuts in. I know who I want to help me. I want one person, and one person only. Darth Jar Jar Binks! Cue the music, Chris!
Well.
No, are you playing the music?
I would be playing some porno music right now.
No, you did the Darth Jar Jar. Is that enough? Okay, cool. Let's move on. Anyway, pretty much everyone does a collective... And at the Jedi Temple, the Jedi are also going, blah? Why the hell does she want Jar Jar of all people? And Palpatine's like, I don't fucking know, guys, but there's a lot of spiritual leaders that have disappeared. And Yoda says that they being the Bardotans, have a strong connection to the Force. They're not like Jedi and Sith. The Bardota people are not warriors. They're more connected to the spiritual side of the Force, living in that cosmic Force. Qui-Gon would be proud. And Yoda and Palpatine is like, I wonder why the Queen doesn't want Jedi to solve this. What did you Jedi do now? And Yoda explains they used to take Bardotan children as Padawans, but the Bardotan people said that the Jedi stole their kids against their will and called them thieves, so they returned the kids. And Palpatine's like, cool. I always knew you guys sucked. Anyway, can you send someone with Jar Jar and hopefully Jar Jar will get that Jedi killed and that's one less Jedi I have to worry about? Thanks, guys. And Wet Blanket Windu is on the case, volunteering to go with Jar Jar. The end of Act 1. What do you think of Act 1, Chris?
Well, I mean, I like that we got some more, you know, non-Jedi Force masters coming up. I love that the DeGroyans had basically the Jedi's number on this and are just like, no, you're kid stealers. Stay away from us.
Yeah.
I like that. That's smart of them, you know. So this is where we get to my big question which, you know, maybe it'll be answered, probably not to my satisfaction, is, okay, you know, I know they're doing it for the story or something, but... Jar Jar knows this queen? Come on. Is this supposed to be something that's happened in his time in the Senate?
I don't think I made a note of that. That is something by the end of the episode that, like, they never explain it. All he says is he's known Julia for many years, and that's it, that they've been friends for many years. But we don't, like, what, like, Phantom Menace time, like, he was just living on Naboo. So
right.
Now,
and he was a buffoon on Naboo. How, you know, unless they like.
Now, there's 10 years between Phantom Menace and Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. So, like, and during that time, he became Representative Binks, so maybe it was something there in that 10-year span?
I'm guessing so.
But there's, like, nothing. Like, no explanation. I don't even think Wikipedia has an explanation of it.
Yeah. I just don't buy their past relationship or whatever, but okay. That's fairly okay. That's about all I have I like that these people are I like their design. They're sort of like bird Gungans. They don't have wings, but they have built like sort of like Gungans with bills.
Yeah, actually, I always associated them with birds, but when I was reading about their species, they kept calling them reptiles.
Yeah, I'm guessing that they're just very close to the point of where they're sexually compatible with Gungans. And I like the sort of tan and yellow color scheme we got going in this one. Tans, yellows, and browns, a little orange in there. That's about all I got for part one. Not a lot happening except just the shocking news that there's some lady that likes Jar Jar out there. That gets even more shocking as it goes along.
Yeah, I'm looking on Wikipedia right now. There's no explanation about how Jar Jar and Julia met or how they know each other. So who knows? For me, my Darth Jar Jar theory, because I'm trying now. Queen Julia knows his powers of the dark side of the Force, and she wants his power to get revenge on the Jedi.
On the Jedi, yes.
I don't know. I'm just scraping the bottom of the barrel. We're getting to see more of the Cosmic Force, so Qui-Gon would be proud. This is a silly note. I always love in Star Wars when characters have really regular people names.
Yeah.
Like Julia. Like, Luke is common. But most people in the Star Wars universe have names like Han and Lando and Asajj and Cad and Imbo. And even Kallus's first name of Alexander is spelled Alexander. So it's not even spelled like a normal Alexander. So, like, when we have Queen Julia, it just makes me smile. You know, I want somebody to show up and be like in a Star Wars world and be like, "Hi, I'm Bob.
I'm Bob, and this is Hortense, my wife."
Yeah. Or be like, "Hello, my name is Roger." And this is my wife, Sarah. I really like in Star Wars when people have normal people names. It always makes me smile.
Roger is like the name of the head droid in the droid army.
Yeah.
He's their god, actually.
Roger, 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 Roger.
Roger, Roger. That's, yeah. They just invoke his name constantly.
No, we've already said it, but I also wrote down the Bardonians aren't wrong. The Jedi do take kids away from the family to never see them again.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not wrong.
Yeah, no, they're actually reacting like a normal society would.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this, you know, we're seeing it more and more. I mean, like, God,
a healthy society, anyway.
Back during the Fives arc, the Kaminoans called the Jedi a cult.
They're not wrong at all.
They're not. I mean, I like seeing other societies just being like, yeah, the Jedi are pretty fucked up, guys. Just saying. My only other note is, I have to wonder if Palpatine knew that the Jedi were labeled thieves by the Bardonians, and that's why he came to them specifically. On one hand, I feel like he would have known, and even if he didn't, he could have found it out through Dooku, who used to be in the Jedi Order. But I think it's a nice ploy on his part, because he knows that the Bardonians don't like Jedi. So sending a Jedi, and sending Windu to a place where Jedi are hated is a good way to try and, like, sow distrust.
Yeah, it kind of ruins everything having Windu along.
Yeah.
It kind of ruins Jar Jar's, you know, any credibility he has.
Yeah. And so I was just wondering if Palpatine would have known that beforehand. Because he asked. He was like, well, why don't the Bardonians like the Jedi? Like, he asked. So that was like, well, maybe is he asking just to act like an old man who doesn't know? Or is he asking just to confirm something in his mind?
Could be a little of both, but he probably already knows.
He probably already knows, and he's just playing the role. But I think that's also just very smart on his part to be like, why don't the people like you? Oh, well, you should send Windu.
Well, that's right. He gets to rub it in a little bit, too, you know?
Yeah.
Not, you know.
I like when Windu has
He's got style, that Palpatine.
That Palpatine sure does. He likes his fuzzy. It's actually at the 10-year anniversary of Clone Wars panel at Dragon Con. One guy dressed as Pajama Dooku, because in one of the Night Sisters episode, we got Dooku in his pajamas, and he dressed as Pajama Dooku. He was so cute.
They should have called it Jammy Dooku.
Like, he even had, like, the embroidery and stuff and, like, the robe. And it was so cute. He was such a cute little old man. So, but that's all I have for Act 1.
Yeah, not a lot happens in it. They just, they can't put too much on you once they have the shocker that somebody requested Jar Jar and she's a woman.
Yeah, and I think I split the acts weird because Act 2 is huge.
Act 2
anyway,
is
Act
huge.
2?
I'm ready.
Act 2. With Blanket Windu and Jar Jar arrive on Bardotta, and Windu is already like, Jar Jar, stop touching buttons on my ship. You're already pushing my buttons. And Windu asks Jar Jar how he knows Julia, and Jar Jar says that they've been friends for a long time, and Windu continues to hate his life. They get to the landing platform, and the head Bardotan dude is like, ew, a Jedi, get out of here. And Wet Blanket has to give over his damp lightsaber as a show of goodwill. It's damp, because his hands are sweaty.
I added that.
And Jar Jar vouches for Windu, so they all head inside. Julia is not happy that Jar Jar has brought a Jedi with him. And Jar Jar says that Windu is a friend, and he's there to help. And Julia goes, so he's your servant? Yeah, Jar Jar explains. And Mace Windu, in all of his glory, slowly turns and gives Jar Jar the biggest, slowest, deadpan look of disdain that is perfect in every Samuel L. Jackson way in every movie he's ever made. And Julia gives
a quick question. Is this isn't Samuel L. Jackson doing the voice acting in this, is it?
No. The only
guy is very close in this.
The only person that had a time that Samuel L. Jackson ever voiced Windu was in the Clone Wars movie.
The movie, right. Okay.
Yeah, that's the only time. Julia gives Windu the okay to stay, but he has to wait outside as they discuss business. And Windu continues to glare down Jar Jar until he leaves. And with the Jedi gone, Julia explains that they're in great danger. An evil prophecy is coming, and their Force Masters are disappearing one by one. If they're not here, a darkness will engulf the galaxy. And Jar Jar vows in his serious voice that he will not let that happen. And Julia says that she wants to speak to Jar Jar alone. Everyone clears the room, and Julia comes down from her throne, walks up to her friend, and makes out with Jar Jar Binks. And she calls him her love, and that they need to, quote-unquote, meditate together so their minds can be one, unquote. And we all know what that means. Ew.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Windu, who is being followed around by guards, and I just find that really funny. No matter where he goes, he just has
with
two
no
guards.
Lightsaber.
With no lightsaber. Calls Yoda and says he does sense a great disturbance in the Force all around him. Yoda says that since the Bardotans hate the Jedi, it could be, help hide evil from in the Force from Windu. But Yoda also emphasizes the importance of the Bardotans in the world of the living Force. And Wet Blanket Windu says that Jar Jar has been alone with the Queen for quite some time, all night long, because this is the next day, apparently.
Wink, 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 wink.
And Yoda freaking says that Jar Jar has the innocence of a child.
A child who apparently just got his pipes cleaned.
Yep. And Windu's mind would be more at ease if you knew what they've been up to. No, bro, you don't want to know.
No.
And the guards won't let him inside to see Jar Jar or the Queen. And he tries to use the Jedi mind trick, but the Bardotans, who are also trained in the Force, it doesn't work on them. And they give him a bitch please. Then he smirks and very suspiciously runs away, making the guards follow him. He hides in the ceiling and waits for the guards to pass by. Meanwhile, the Queen is not sexing Jar Jar anymore because this is the next morning, and they are, in fact, meditating. She only trusts Jar Jar with some information. She has discovered a terrible secret rippling in the Force and refuses to let Windu know about it. She's meditated in the Force and discovered a terrible plot. And Windu comes in, and Julia freaks out at him for barging in like that. And Jar Jar steps up and promises to deal with Windu and his actions, and Windu continues to hate his life. The guards, Jar Jar, and Windu leave Julia alone. Outside, Windu pulls Jar Jar aside, demanding to know where he was last night. And Jar Jar confirms that he loves Julia and was with her. Ew. And Jar Jar argues his love for Julia is the only reason that she's talking to either of them. And he's all like, she was about to tell me about the problem with the Force, and then you came in and cock-blocked me. And Windu gives him a communicator so Jar Jar can contact him if he learns anything useful. Jar Jar goes back in the Queen's room and shouts out for help. Julia has disappeared like the other Force Masters before her. They call a meeting of the Bardotan Force Masters, or what's left of them. Petine, who is the next in command, is all like, "The prophecy is coming true! All is lost! If the Queen is not back in 3 days, she'll be gone forever, and darkness will consume the entire galaxy!" And everyone's like, "So Palpatine, we got that. Yeah, Sith Lord got it." And Windu steps forward to offer his advice and help, but the Council freaks out, saying that the coming of the Jedi was a sign of destruction. Jar Jar silences the room and gives a speech saying that Julia trusted him, and he made her a promise. He will use Windu's help and find Julia for them. And Windu tells Jar Jar to ask about the origin of the prophecy. And it came from a faction clan that worshipped an ancient demon. Their shrine is under the temple, and no one ever comes back from going down there. And that's going to be the first place they look. What'd you think of Act 2?
Act 2 is more fun. Even though we confirmed that Jar Jar's getting his little Jar Jar wet. But I'm glad you used cock blocker.
Do you think that Julia has that candy from Phantom Menace where it's Jar Jar's tongue and that's like what sustains her while he's gone?
Yeah, that's what she just keeps by the bedside. You know, that's
Jar Jar. Brad, you taste like cherries.
When her handmaidens come in to change the sheets, they're just like, "Oh, geez, another one." All right.
Bring me more Jar Jar lollipops.
So I'm glad you used the phrase cock blocker. That's in my notes, too. He's graduated from wet blanketing to cock blocking. These guys' accent. Like, the Queen is kind of got that Hungarian Zsa Zsa Gabor going. But it also, like, goes between French and, like, Indian, a little bit of Indian accent.
I think, because I'm not sure, but I think the voice actress for Julia is Indian.
Okay.
I think she is. Not positive, though.
But sometimes there's a little bit of, French poking around in there, too. It's just a weird little melding of a bunch of different accents. My last small note is I like the scene where Windu's talking with Yoda on his little hologram phone. It looks, all I could think of was that he was playing Poke Yoda Go.
There's a gym nearby. We gotta spin these stuff, Poke stops.
Yeah, exactly.
And okay. Yoda just spins and goes. Roar!
So my only big note on this is it's only three words, but. It's Windu is subverting. He's the one who's subverting all this. He shouldn't be there, really. You know, according to the planet, they don't want him there, and he should be just sort of hanging out and letting Jar Jar do his thing, and being ready if he's needed. But instead, he's going to like take stuff out. He's going to screw everything up by. Not trusting Jar Jar, you know. So he's you know, when he started messing around, like when he started messing around with the guards, it's just like you're gonna ruin everything, dude. You're messing with them. Why, you know, they're allowing a Jedi to be there because of Jar Jar, and you're gonna like push that, you know. It's not very not very negotiation friendly, if you ask me.
I was holding up my hand, and then I realized you can't see it. I pretty much have the exact same note, but worded differently.
That's all I got for this. That was my big takeaway from this part, was that, like, you know, basically they've sort of reversed roles here, where Jar Jar is a responsible one, and Windu is the one who's messing everything up.
Yeah. So, like, my version of that note is, like, I understand why everyone's kind of nervous about Jar Jar doing this. Like, it's Jar Jar, and I get that. But haven't we seen, over the course of Clone Wars, him time and time again step up and get stuff done? Like, he helped Padme in Season 1 take down the Nymordians. He's helped out Bail Organa. He's even faced off against General Grievous. And, like I actually got a little upset when Yoda was like, he has the innocence of a child. The dude has earned some credit over the course of this show, and to hear everyone talking shit about him feels like they're disregarding everything that's happened so far in the show, things that they all know about.
Well, Windu's also Mr. Play by the Rules and Mr. Dignity of the Jedi guy. You know, you would think, I think Obi, like, I think Obi-Wan would just go be like, I'll just stay in the ship, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
If you need
this would
me.
Have went so differently if it was Obi-Wan, because I think he would have stayed in the ship. But, like, that's a good point. It's a little out of character for Windu. Like, I feel like he'd be the one that would be going, like, no, we're here because of you. I'm going to stay out of your way.
Yeah, but maybe it's also because of his uptightedness and the fact that it's kind of driving him crazy a little bit that he's on that he's got to do this with Jar Jar, so that he is sort of breaking his.
And he's the one that gives Anakin shit about not playing by the rules and following orders.
Exactly. And here he is trying to ruin everything.
I'm like, he's the one that gets onto Anakin about not letting go and being too controlling. He can't let Jar Jar hang out with his friend.
Yeah. He actually has an advantage, you know. I mean, Jar Jar having a sexual relationship with her is to their advantage. So he should be happy about that.
Yeah, like
nobody should be happy about that.
He should have been like, congratulations, buddy.
High five.
Okay, yeah. Have you washed your hands? Okay, now high five. But yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, I mean, Jar Jar has proven over and over in the course of the show that he's capable. And he's actually been capable this entire episode. And every time he starts gaining ground, Windu's the one that rips him back.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So, like, I just, that kind of, like, made me a little mad, because I'm like, they're talking about the guy who faced off against Grievous and helped get him captured.
Well, if you notice in this one, he's not super stumbly either. There's only one point where he really Jar Jars it up, and it's not, he doesn't really wreck anything. He just, like, freaks out a little bit when they first hit the gong, you know?
Yeah.
He sort of does a little, like, woo, but otherwise, he's not knocking stuff over. He's not breaking anything. Big step up.
Yeah.
He's
actually,
got his big boy pants on.
In the 10-year anniversary of Clone Wars panel at Dragon Con, somebody brought that up about the whole episode with Grievous versus the Gungans. And they were like, who knew that the Gungans were such badasses? They took down General Grievous. General Grievous, the Gungans. And those, I was like, yeah, the Gungans can be capable.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I absolutely agree. Like, I feel like
pretty much every Gungan we've met has been capable except for Jar Jar, and it's turning out he's capable, too. So,
yeah, I mean, what has he done in the course of the show? I mean, every episode he's done, he's won. He's been on the winning side, and he played a role to help win. So, I mean, like, he hasn't done anything to warrant all this. So I don't know. So my other notes are, I like Jar Jar's new outfit. He looks super fly in this episode.
They had to give him a player outfit if he was getting some.
Yeah, but it's kind of like both like really nice, but it almost kind of looks like armor, but not quite like the way it's up on his neck and his shoulders. It almost kind of looks like armor, but it's not.
So. Yeah, it's fancy lad.
It's
fancy.
After Windu asked Jar Jar, and this is when they were in the ship when they're first landing on the planet, he asked how Jar Jar knows Julia, and Julia looks at the camera, like, looks directly at the camera and gives the most dreamy look, and I might puke if I wasn't laughing so hard at it.
Well, you know, Jar Jar might be a Podrick, you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, you know I know, I've been watching Game of Thrones, I'm on top of Game of Thrones.
He might be a Podrick. It's kind of goofy. Kind of doofy looking, but, you know, once you get a little taste, you're coming back for more.
Once you go pod, you're always on that
right.
Rod.
I mean, we haven't seen too many skills that Jar Jar's had. Maybe that's one of his skills, and we haven't seen it because they've been PG to PG-13 rated movies.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Mace Windu's face looking slowly at Jar Jar after he's told to be Jar Jar's servant is the greatest moment of this entire episode, fight me. It's just like, he's my servant! And he just slowly looks at him. Doesn't say anything, but just looks at him. And I actually sent you that picture because I loved it so much.
Oh, that's the artwork for this show, Hope.
Oh, good, good, good. So I remember the first time I watched this episode, I was like, oh, cute. Jar Jar has a friend. Oh my God, they're making out. What is happening? And then I realized I felt so bad telling you way in advance that Jar Jar had a girlfriend, because I would have just loved to have known your initial reaction, just to be like, ah!
It doesn't make any sense. I guess it's plausible, so I'm going with it, but...
I would have loved to know, like, whether or not, like, you were shocked that this woman suddenly made out with him.
If I didn't know it was coming, I would have, yeah... I don't know, they sort of telegraph it a little bit in the show, so I wouldn't have been completely surprised, but I still would have been disgusted, basically.
Yeah. Though I have to say, it's really cute. Have you ever seen The Princess Diaries?
I have not.
As Anne Hathaway? She goes on for a long time about how, like, when she has a kiss, like, she wants her foot to pop behind her, just go pop. Well, when Jar Jar's kissing Julia, his foot pops like in The Princess Diaries, and it was cute.
Oh, God.
All right, so at this point in the Clone Wars, we've seen people hating on the Jedi for different reasons. I like that they hate that the Jedi are protecting their children and they're jerks towards Windu. Oh, this was about them being such jerks towards Windu. I just like that having, like, a place where Windu is just not in a lot of power. And I think that's a new kind of twist, because, like, there's a part, like, every... It's kind of like the scene in Black Panther where Martin Freeman's character is with the gorilla tribe. Like, every time he talks, he's cut off. And it's kind of like that. Like, every time Windu tries to talk, they're just like, silence, Jedi, we'll only talk to Jar Jar.
Exactly.
And, like, there's a moment where, like, Windu has, like, a really, like, sad puppy face. And because we know that Windu's not a bad person, but he's dealing with way past Jedi bullshit. Like, we always talk about Jedi bullshit, but this was, like, 1,000 years ago Jedi bullshit. And I just find that really interesting to have this, like, dealing with the effects of people who...
Well, if they hadn't kicked him off 1,000 years ago, they'd still probably be taking babies from their planet, too, so... It's still pertinent.
Yeah.
They know... I mean, basically, Mace Windu, like, half the people are, like, think of Jedi and they think he's here for our babies, you know? Like, almost ghoulish, I would imagine, after 1,000 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I have to wonder. I think Jar Jar might be one of the strongest characters in this episode, because he's the only one that's keeping shit together and doing the work for Windu. He's doing the work for Windu.
Oh.
He's doing all the heavy lifting.
Oh.
He's getting his hands dirty.
Oh.
Maybe a little bit of brown nosing.
Oh. Hope.
I promise you all the innuendos were not written into my notes. All right, my last note is I do like, even though that they don't like the Jedi, that there are some similarities between the Bardotans and the Jedi, because they said that the evil temple is under their current temple, and they built their good temple on top of the evil temple. Well, the Jedi did that on Coruscant. Their temple on Coruscant was actually built on top of a Sith temple to help seal it away. So I like that even though, like, the Bardotans don't like the Jedi, they do similar things to, like, seal away evil by building a good temple on top of that. So I just thought that was a nice kind of, like, similarity between the two Force groups.
I wonder if Palpatine ever made his way into the Sith temple underneath everything.
Oh, that would have been a Clone Wars arc that we never got.
Oh.
Yeah, actually, what it is that after Ahsoka leaves the Order... she starts investigating, and she finds her way down into the Sith temple, and Palpatine stops her, but, like, she never actually sees that it's Palpatine. She just knows that there's, like, a Sith force down there. So. Oh, you have to know that that's why he took over the Jedi temple and made that his palace, because he knows there's a Sith temple underneath it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why he took their temple.
Yeah.
So. You know that's true. And I think I read some... Don't quote me on this one. I don't know it's true. But I think after he took over the Jedi Temple, like, he excavated down into the...
I would imagine he... I would hope that he would.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I read that somewhere. But don't quote me, because I'm not 100% sure. But that's all I have for Act 2. All
right. You ready to finish this puppy up?
Yes. I'm sure Julia would love to finish that Jar Jar puppy up.
Oh. Red Rocket.
I missed recording. 3 weeks is far too long. All right, Act 3. Windu and Jar Jar follow the guard into the temple lower down on the mountain. This shit is real, because they give Windu back his lightsaber. The guard explains that that a faction worshiper, fraction worshippers were warriors, but were still spiritual. Jar Jar sees down the tunnel a piece of Julia's clothes, and then he gets glitter bombed by someone in a mask. Jar Jar starts to disappear, and the door closes before Windu can get in there. He uses the force to open the door. I'm going to tell you right now, I wrote this third act in a rush because I got home from the doctor, and then I went to go turn on my computer, and my charger wasn't working, so I had to do a rush, like, run to Best Buy and buy a new laptop charger, or else I wouldn't have a charger for the episode tonight. So I rushed through Act 3. I'm sorry now if it sounds terrible. Just everybody, just so you know. He got glitter bombed and disappeared. And Windu uses the force to open the door, and Jar Jar and the masked person are gone. And Windu sends the guard back for help, and Windu pushes forward. Jar Jar is now invisible, as the masked person is carrying his invisible body towards a lava pit with some ceremonial stuff set up down below. They shove him in a cage, and Jar Jar reappears again. There he finds other force masters that have been taken. Windu rushes to follow Jar Jar's signal, but the masked guys are moving their cages to be sacrificed. Jar Jar drops the communicator and it gets smashed. He finds Julia and she says that they're stealing the force right out of them. They shove a force master down a slide of death, and he's held up by force lightning. Windu senses it and rushes towards it. The force shoots out of the master and into a green glowing orb. They put Jar Jar on the slide of death. Jar Jar said that he's not strong in the force, but the masked guys say that the force is in all living things. And Wet Blanket Windu arrives to throw moist towelettes on all of them. And he starts fighting the masked guys. And Jar Jar fights the way he does best by running into everyone, but ends up going down the slide of death. And Windu saves him with the force and throws him up to save the queen. Jar Jar falls after the masked guy, but the leader of the bad guys gets Julia and their growing glowing green orb into a ship, and they take off. Now, with the force masters returned, they give Jar Jar and Windu permission to go after the queen for next week. The end.
Glowing green orb is a great tongue twister, I think.
Glowing green orb.
Yeah.
What did you think of Act 3?
Well, I thought it was the best part of the whole thing because it was just basically no holds bar Indiana Jar Jar and the Temple of Doom. Basically, you've seen Temple of Doom, right?
It's been a very long time.
It's very, I mean, it really is, plays, you know, it's almost completely the whole sequence from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, which makes it fun. I like when they're first entering, you know, the caves, it's very much like they're in the Himalayas, you know, with frozen winds blowing and giant stone structures with you know, little prayer flags hanging off them. So that was really cool. Is it me, or does Mace Windu's lightsaber seem extra long in this one? It seems more like a Rebel's lightsaber, like a real thin, long, old-school lightsaber.
I didn't notice, but now that you mention it, was it purple?
It was purple.
Okay.
And my only other note is the evil... Basically, the thuggies, their escape ship is really cool. I love the design of their escape ship, and I love the shot of it just sort of arcing up into space and heading towards that other planet, presumably.
I like how the wings unfurled,
yes.
Actual wings.
Yes, yeah, it was really neat. It was like some ancient Egyptian thing being, you know, dragged out of mothballs. It was just really cool. And the shot of it taking off was just especially, you know, visually beautiful. So I thought that whole end sequence sort of made the whole episode for me.
Oh, it is purple. I guess in the lining it just looked a little bit more white. Oh, was that all your notes?
Yeah, that's all I got.
Sorry. One thing I noticed when they push the Force Master down the slide of death and he gets held up by the lightning, and then his force powers goes into the glowing green orb, it was very Night Sister-like.
Yes.
It had that kind of feel, and I thought that was a really cool touch. And I'm wondering if there's a running theme with all the people who uses the dark side of the Force who are not Siths, if they have kind of like those similar themes.
And the green color when it comes to someone's essence, you know?
Yeah.
I thought Night Sister thing, but it might be a Force thing that things...
They even had, like, a bubbling cauldron that, like, Mother Talzin used to use.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a really cool touch. So it was like, you know, like the only other like dark side users we've seen so far is like the Night Sisters, and it was very similar. So I thought that was kind of a cool little tie-in.
Yeah, it's the same sort of thing that's evolved on a different planet. And yeah, it seems more patriarchal than matriarchal.
Yeah. So these masked guys say that the Force is strong in all living things. And we've talked about it before about how, like, I've wondered if people, if any person is given enough time and practice, if they could eventually use the Force, like Jedi and Sith, if they are given enough time.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe
not. We've debated this before. I mean, it's something I still kind of wonder about.
Yeah.
Because, like, we've talked about, like, Chirrut. Like, if Chirrut was given enough time in Rogue One, like, he could have been, like, a Force user, that he was already kind of tied into that through the Wills. But, like, it's something I still kind of wonder to this day, like, if the Force is in everybody. Like, maybe not, like, fully like a Jedi, but, like, if they could, like, really tap into that at some point. I still wonder that to this day, if the Force is in everything.
It's like I think everybody could play basketball, but everybody couldn't be Michael Jordan.
You know? Yeah, that's a really good point. I like that. That's a really good analogy of how to look at it. Like, I could play basketball. If I'm standing right under the hoop and underhands it, I can get it in.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean I'm Michael Jordan or LeBron James. So the music when Mace Windu arrives and like jumps into the fight is very Avengers.
Yes.
It was so heroic. It was like, ba 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 ba, Mace Windu is here. I was like, wow, that's borderline Avengers music. But my God, Mace Windu was awesome in that fight. He was kicking ass and taking names.
Oh yeah, these guys were nothing for him. He got to chuck them all over the place.
Yeah, and like even like lifting Jar Jar, dropping and lifting him, Jar Jar dropping, still fighting. Like the one where like somebody like threw a spear at him and he caught it and then like just jabbed a guy behind him. Like, yeah. I feel like this was like Mace Windu's 2 days of like frustrations of Jar Jar got taken out right now.
Oh, totally. Totally.
One thing about this episode, I feel like it could have very easily been a standalone. Like, they could have saved the queen at the end and stopped the bad guys. And so I don't know how I feel about it. Granted, I've only seen part two once, and I don't really remember much of it. So I can't remember how it ties in together with this one, except for a big thing that I can't tell you because it's a spoiler. That being said, I don't know. I feel like, do you think this would have been okay, like, standalone one-shot, or do you like the fact that it has a second part to, like, go into it more?
It needs more to it. If it would have been one part, it would have just been too much information in one thing. There's more to be gleaned from this than, there's more to a lot of everything that you know. I think it could have been a 3 or 4 part arc, depending on where they went with it, but, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that, like, the reason I kind of like the fact that it's a two-parter, because I had a really good time watching this episode. I've only seen this episode once, and I it was a lot more fun than what I remembered it. The only thing I wish that we got to go more in is how the Bardotans use the Force differently from the Jedi. And all we saw was, like, the Queen meditating with Jar Jar and kind of doing Tai Chi. But I want to know how they use the Force, in what way, and how they keep that balance in keeping the dark side away.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's, like, we've been told, like, they meditate and they're passive in the Force and they're connected to the living Force. But I guess I want to see more, which is why I'm glad this is a two-parter, because I can't remember if we see more or not. I don't remember. But that's, I feel like, the one thing that was, like, really missing from this episode is these Bardotans use the Force differently from the Jedi. Well, how? Because we've seen how the Night Sisters use the dark side of the Force differently from the Sith, but we don't know how the Bardotans, who are light Force users, use it different from the Jedi. And that's what
we learned way more about their dark side users than their light side users.
Yeah. And my last question is, hey, Chris, is this a good Jar Jar episode? As I slowly drink my drink.
It wasn't my favorite Jar Jar episode, but it wasn't a bad one.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't annoy me as much as, say, the juggling one.
Not as good as the Grievous one.
No. Come on. Or Bombad Jedi. Bombad Jedi is actually my favorite Jar Jar episode.
Really? Still to this day?
Yeah.
It's still Dave Filoni giving a finger to the fanboys.
Yeah, I liked it. No. I enjoyed it for that reason also.
But that's all I have, so you want to score it up?
You want me to score it up? I liked it. It was fun. It had some nice visual elements to it, and it was just generally a good Clone Wars episode. I give it a 7.5.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm saying, huh, I gave it the same score.
I know, that's why, I thought that's why you were saying it, huh. We very rarely get the same score, that's why I was saying
it. I felt like you actually liked it less than me, so. I felt like you liked it less, so.
No, I actually, when I was putting my score down, I wanted to put an 8.0 down, and then I thought about it, and I'm like, yeah, it's not quite an 8.0 episode, but it's definitely a strong 7.5.
Okay. Well, for me, this one, like I said, this is a fun one. I enjoyed it far more than I thought I would. I actually really like Jar Jar in this episode. I think he's actually probably one of the most competent characters in this episode, and Mace is the one that's getting in the way. And it's such a twist that he has a girl that likes him. Like, I still, to this day, I'm just like, wow! And I really love the final fight scene with Mace Windu. Like, that really brings it up, like, an extra thing. I like seeing the Force being used in different ways. I just really want it more. And this is just a nice little setup for the two-parter. So I also gave it a 7.5 out of 10.
And, you know, I think it really helps having Jar Jar, to have him and Mace Windu as foils to each other. You know, they're a perfect character to be foils to each other. Sort of like, when we had Obi-Wan and what's his name handcuffed together, Tyrannus, Dooku, you know, like the Obi-Wan Dooku pairing, it's very similar.
Yeah. Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on iTunes, Twitter, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page. This week, our feedback comes from the Two True Freaks Facebook page for our episode, The Unknown.
Ooh, I get to hear voices on both of them, too.
I know.
All right, the first one comes from Patrick Delmore. Been on vacation, so won't hear this till I'm back at work. So why are you writing us before you even heard it, man?
I liked his follow-up note, and that's why I added it.
I never thought they would tell a Star Wars story like this on TV.
This was the beginning of the Fives arc.
Mm.
And I agree. I never thought that we would actually see an Order 66 arc in Clone Wars.
All right. Our second is from Paul C. Kelly. And he says, Season 6.
Oh, yeah.
Commander Doom. Oh, yeah. Like his style. My favorite color, green, too. I have a goal to be recruited into the 501st as Commander Doom one day.
Don't let your dreams become dreams, Paul.
Did you notice Five making fun of Anakin's scopes when he was trying to rescue Tups? Are those scopes Jedi issues, sir? Stay focused, Fives, and then Five snickers. It was set a little low, so I missed it the first time, but went back to listen again and started dying laughing, especially after recently hearing your discussion on how the Jedi are so cheap and underpaid for staff and probably equipment, lol.
That's true.
Yes.
That's in the final Ahsoka arc, yeah. So, oh my gosh, we get to do candy!
I forgot all about this!
Oh my god! What do we do, Chris?
I have to tell you, I forgot which one it was, but I ate one of my candies. I got hungry the other night. But we have so many. So what's looking good here?
We haven't done this in 3 weeks. Let's do the Nudimax. It's like big green and Nudimax? Brown package.
Yes.
Nudimax.
It's Nudimax. The biggest one we got, but it's really airy and light.
Yeah.
It's really fluffy feeling. Okay, so
if you don't know what we're doing, and Chris hates American Kit Kats, because he's dumb. And our friend Dario, who is Chris's co-podcaster for Eat and Beat It, sent us candy from all over the world.
Ooh, there's two of them.
And so, Nudimax is pistachio chocolate that is from Turkey, and it contains no pork according to the wrapper.
No pork?
All right, let's open it.
It's too individually wrapped. It's classy.
Ooh!
Check it out.
Oh, it is digitally wrapped.
Yeah, for freshness.
Save one of those. Save one of those for later.
Oh.
I'm still opening my. Oh, it smells delicious. I haven't had candy in like 3 weeks either, so I'm really excited about this.
It doesn't have the actual nuts in it. It just has a crunchy.
Oh, mine's disintegrating. What do I do? Oh god, mine just completely disintegrated. Okay. Oh my god. That is wafer and nut.
Mm-hmm.
Mmm. That's delicious.
The nuts are under the wafer.
Mmm.
But there's like wafer, and then there's like a little green nougaty but light pasty.
Mm-hmm.
Mmm.
Mine's still disintegrating, so I'm just like dumping crumbs into my mouth.
Yeah. It's so crunchy and light that it just like is falling apart.
Oh man. Thank you, the country of Turkey, for making this, and thank you, Dario, for sending it to us.
And this is one of the fresher ones because they're individually like wrapped inside the wrapper.
Yeah, we've had this candy for a while now.
Yeah. I know, I've been looking for a little dorm refrigerator, actually, when I go out garage sailing. Just to keep my candy and maybe a couple, bottles of water in for podcast. It would be a total podcasting refrigerator.
Just to note this, Daria's note to us says, Happy Spring. That's how long we've had this batch of candy. All right, I'm gonna eat the last one. Yeah. Well, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com. That is our podcast with all of our podcasts. By the time you hear this, it won't be out yet, but it soon will be. There's a new podcast that I've super secret, top secret podcast I'm working on with the legendary Thomas DJ.
I don't even know what it is, guys. He won't tell me.
Yep. All I will tell you is it's called The Honeywell Experiment, so you know I'm in it. And that's coming soon. But meanwhile, we've got Star Trek, Star Wars, comic book, just every topic in the world that's nerd-like. Got lots of people working on Walking Dead and on all the superhero TV shows and just plugging away, pumping it out. And so we got twotruefreaks.com. You can go see us on Facebook. We got a Two True Freaks page there, which will tell you when we release an episode. We've got the Two True Freaks Cantina, where we go to just talk about nerd stuff and hang out, man. Just relax and hang out, man. And,
like Paul C. Kelly, man.
Like Paul C. Kelly, man. Right on. Right on. Right on. Then there's, of course, the other evil website besides Facebook, that's the Twitter. And there's a Two True Freaks at Twitter. That's run by the legendary, the hardcore, Gene with a G, the podcasting machine.
You said hardcore, right?
He's hardcore.
Meow, 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 meow. Hardcore!
Yeah, you switched it up on me.
I did. I was actually thinking since you were still eating, doing noms, and then you said hardcore. Going, nom, 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 nom.
I can't stop eating this. It's delicious.
So good.
But I have to eat it slowly because, yes, it's falling apart in my hand. But that's where you can find me. Where can they find you, Hope?
You can find me at JGuysAndJedi. I run our Twitter account. And you can also find me at Hope Monax on Twitter. I'm also writing a fanfiction called Forces of Gravity. It's a Thrawn fanfiction. You can find that on Archive of Our Own. If you like it, leave me a comment. That'd be great. I also beta read my friend's Thrawn fanfiction called Valkyrie Strike, and you can find both of those on Archive of Our Own.
Excellent.
Oh, excuse me, sorry. Had a burp. And I'm gonna fart.
I was burping a lot on the last garage show gloat we did. after our lunch.
I've gotten into drinking seltzer water, so I'm like, I'm drinking water, only it's bubbly.
Fizzy, so I'm still getting fizzy water here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still getting my water intake, only it's bubbly. So, because the thing is like, I don't drink Cokes anymore, but I like the carbonation feeling of drinking Cokes.
Yes.
So, like, every time I drink a Coke, I'm just like, it's so sweet, but I like the feeling of it, but it's sweet. So, like, when I was like, wait, seltzer water, and I drank it, I was like, this is fine.
I wish they would make Coke with, like, half the sugar. I wonder what it would taste, to the point
actually,
of where it was just sweet and almost bitter, you know?
The one I have is the Kroger brand. It's called Fitz & Co. Seltzer, and it's seltzer water with a hint of cola flavor. So it tastes like a very mild Coke.
Yeah.
But it's water, and it's delicious. So. But. All right, that's all I have. Do you have anything else, Chris?
Nope.
Well, next week we have to see if they save Jar Jar's girlfriend.
Yep. Then maybe they'll have more sex.
Well, I'm wondering, I'm on the fence whether or not you might like next week's episode more or not. So we'll have to see.
I know there's two, with stories like this, there's two potential obvious plot directions where it can go with the queen.
What do you think?
There's two potential ones, and they're not really twists, but like one is she dies at the end because Jar Jar can't really have a girlfriend. You never can. It's the you know, Satine sort of syndrome. Or it turns out she's with the dark side and betrays him in the end. So it's those two are like the obvious things that could happen. That's why they escaped with the queen. She's part, you know, she's part of their plot too. I don't know why she brought Jar Jar to fix it. Maybe she does know Jar Jar well enough to know that he wasn't going to do anything, but didn't count on the Jedi. But that's
maybe
that's,
she just wanted one more night of sex with her hot boyfriend.
Yeah, right. You know, and that keeps and that would keep
Snooki.
Him off guard.
She wanted that Snooki one more time.
That's usually what you do before.
Come on, the Snooki.
That's usually what you do before you betray someone is you give them one last Snooki night, and that way they trust you.
Should play us out with Limp Bizkit. I gave it all up for the Snooki. Come on, the Snooki. Come on, so you can get.
Yeah, but that means I have to play Limp Bizkit.
That's true.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at twotruefreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. T-R-U-E-F-R-E-A-K-S.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
We were finally invited aboard one of these spacecraft, which landed near Ann Arbor, Michigan on October the 24th of 1954. This is a drawing of the craft. As I was leaving the craft, the commander, Soltek, said, "Soon others of your people will be able to have an experience similar to this."